Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black. I am back bringing the Good News Show to you. This morning's show is going to be very exciting. We have a wonderful woman, Yvette Soler, coming on, and she will talk about the music industry. She's also involved in being a teacher initiate in the Brotherhood and Sisterhood of Light, Reiki practitioner, Reiki master, and Kabbalist. So I want you to just stay tuned. She'll be on in a couple of minutes, but first I'd like to introduce my co-host, Sherry.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Patty.
Good morning. I have a little cough here.
This is great. I've been looking forward to Yvette's show for a while now because she has some really interesting things that she's going to be talking to us about. One of them is astral travel, and I've always, it's always something that's been a little bit the unknown. What is astral traveling? So I'm looking forward to having her on, and as soon as she's here, Patty, let's bring her on in.
Okay, I do see that she's here, so let's see if we can bring her in. Good morning. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Hello. Welcome.
Good morning, Yvette. Thanks for being here with us. We're so looking forward to talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Just to kind of say it, for me, it's good afternoon.
Oh. Where are you?
I am currently in Barcelona, Spain.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite places.
That is our, yes, we love the shoes there. Amongst the other things.
So why don't we just start with having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All right. Sounds great. I was born and raised in Miami. I moved from Miami to Seattle, Washington, after I graduated from the University of Miami. So I'm a born and bred Cane. And
wow.
I moved out there because I was working in high tech, and a company, which is now known as Real Networks, moved me out there. So I worked in high technology for about just under 10 years, working between Real Networks and Microsoft. And throughout that time, I did a bunch of other things as well. I was very heavily in the acting scene and have actually worked in, I did one feature film, several short films, lots of industrial videos. And throughout that whole time, though, I was always seeking. It started really young when I was in Miami, but as most people, you kind of shut it off when you get to a certain age and kind of start to think of the world in its more concrete and physical and denser ways. About 5 years ago, I left the corporate world and joined a kind of new community for me, and it was very, very new at the time. I really have to say that these people opened my eyes to a world that I didn't trust existed, and they allowed me to start to explore that side of myself that really held kind of my spiritual essence. And I founded another company by the name of Infinite Connections, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about, that is really about music and art and expression and performance. And that business sort of then led me down a more spiritual path, which brought me in kind of, the best way to say it is it basically showed me all these different avenues, lineages, schools, and I started to study voraciously and work with different schools, different mystery schools, that then led me down the path to where I am now. So about a year and a half ago, my partner got a job with Cirque du Soleil, and so we left Seattle after my just about 12 years there. In that time, I had my music business. I had co-owned a circus. I had been involved in the arts and in the spiritual side from both a backstage and a on-stage perspective, and came out to Europe and toured for about a year. And now live in Barcelona, is my kind of home base. But honestly, I travel quite a bit. I'm usually gone more than I'm here.
Wow,
so that's
wow.
Kind of like me in a nutshell. It's a little bit of a complicated story, but it's a very fun story, and I can't wait to see what comes next.
Well, it sounds like you're really living your your life and following your passion. I want you to know I'm also an alumni of the University of Miami Music Engineering Program.
Oh, really? That's the same program I went to.
Well, this is a little shock. I studied under Ken Pullman.
Yep, that was my teacher as well.
Yes, yes, wonderful program. That's interesting. We'll have to talk more after the interview. So it really sounds like you've made a landmark for yourself, and you're able to follow your dreams in the industry.
Absolutely, and it took me. I have to say that my personal journey to find a place where I felt comfortable, because, you know, I think a lot of us are conditioned, and not necessarily in a bad way, but we're conditioned to think, oh, you want to actually reach to be that star. You want to be on the stage. You want to be that thing. And I had to realize that my place is actually, it's behind people. It's behind the stage. It's behind the scenes. I help people realize their dreams. I help people move forward. I'm a bridge. And so when I realized that I didn't have to strive to be in the spotlight, but that I could completely shine by letting other people shine, and that happened in the software industry, it happened in the music industry, it happened in everything, it's when I finally started to kind of come into my own and feel like this is what I'm meant to do.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you do that with people, and how you become the bridge to help them to see what their passion and live their dreams?
Sure. I've done it in a few different mediums. So when it started when I was in the software industry, and again, as a music engineer coming into that industry, I really was focused a lot on sound and what's in the early days of things like Blog Talk Radio and music over the internet. And I moved from a position of testing into project management. And it was just there where I use these examples because it's very important for me as I'm working with people to realize and for me to explain to my clients and students that what the lessons that I teach and the things that we work through, even though I'm using maybe spiritual words or spiritual connotations, apply to everyday life. And it's very important to be able to bring all of these lessons back into your everyday life. For me, it started when I was a project manager and tester. Again, behind the scenes, I was the one who was coordinating everything and realizing that the end, you know, it's the developers and maybe the higher level, you know, managers that are going to get a lot of the credit, but without the work that I was doing, the project wasn't going to go out. And then as I moved into the music, deeper into the music performance industry, I was a booking agent and an event producer. And again, it's a big coordination type of job. And I'm not the one on stage. Most of the time, most people don't have a clue who produces the events, the movies, the everything that we see. And so when I work with my clients, I talk a lot about, you know, it's not about following me. It's about letting me work with you to find your path. It's about letting me listen to what is going on in your life and listen, and me teaching you how to listen to your internal voice so that you can find your higher self, so that you can find your personal path, so that you can shine in whatever it is that you want to do. And finding the bridge in the sense between the world that you're currently in right now, which depends on where a person comes from. Sometimes they're coming from a place that is very dense, very much of it's what I see and feel with my five senses, versus some people who are coming in a little bit more open. But more importantly is, how do we bridge the gap from where you are today to where you want to go? And I do that in through a lot of different ways. I combine, you know, the classes that I teach, which each one brings a certain amount of empowerment and lessons, whether it's sacred geometry or astral travel or, you know, meditation or practical magic. And then I do one-on-one coaching with certain clients to work through kind of finding them a very, very specific path. And sometimes it's just simple empowerment, purification, things that they need to kind of get them over a step, a DNA activation, a cord cutting to clear their energy, going into their house and maybe doing a crystal grid to bring in certain types of energy. It's really a very individualized, I don't have a model that works for all. I sit with my clients and I talk to them and I figure out something that works specifically for them.
Wow. Well,
incredible.
In hearing a little bit about what you were been talking about and your the wording of the sacred geometry, is that and
yes.
activating a room and the vibration and protection. How do you could you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Sacred geometry, for you know, at a most basic level, is a language, and I think we, you know. The class that I teach especially is the basic introductory level is where I start, which is just talking about the circle, the square, and the triangle. And really it's about showing people how to use this language so that when they're walking through, you know, you're walking down the street or you're going through your day and you have something that you're working on, you're processing, let's say a problem or a situation or even just you know, trying to figure out the next step in something, you can look around yourself and see, I'm seeing a lot of triangles today, a lot of pyramids and triangles. I need to bring more divine energy into this because this is really showing me about my connection to spirit and really bringing in, thinking about this at a higher level, as opposed to if I'm seeing a lot of circles, you know, I'm looking at the windows and there's a lot of circles in this for whatever reason, the circle of the house, or I'm seeing a lot of wheels or whatever, it's a more, look at the answer to be a more mundane into the earthly world that we live in type process. So sacred geometry, besides being fascinating to learn about and for you to be able to build your own symbolism and to be able to build mandalas and sigils and things of that nature, at a more basic level, it's really starting to understand what the language is. What do those three geometries mean, and how do I use them as I'm walking around? The same thing, then, is to take that, and how do I use them to protect my space using a magic circle? How do I use that to grid and seal a room so that I can hold energy so that if I'm meditating or working on a problem or astral traveling or even doing something like, you know, doing a really important project for work, I can hold the energy of the room, seal the room up, and use my own energy without wasting it. And so all these different little aspects come from learning through how to use the sacred geometry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And is this something, once you understand how to use it, can you build like an intuition and just do it instantly, or does it take a long time to learn how to do it?
No, it's absolutely that. You want to build it into your instincts. I mean, really all of the things that my approach to teaching and working with people is about helping you discover your personal connections, which then makes everything become automatic. When I'm walking down the street, if I feel a negative energy, I don't think twice about it. I start doing certain rituals that I know that I could do as I'm walking. If I'm thinking about, I don't do passive meditation very well. It's just not my thing. I do active meditation. A lot of it is walking, especially living in the cities that I visit and live in. I tend to walk for like hours, and it's in that walking that I get into a sort of meditative state and that things come to me naturally. So I'll be walking around thinking through in a meditative state and seeing trees and being like, wow, those trees really look square, and that fence really looks square, and getting lots of square messages. And I don't necessarily think about it so actively. It just becomes part of the way that I do things. And that's what I think is most important, because I think a lot of people take classes and really want to be active in their spirituality, which is fantastic. But then they come home with all these paperwork and they're like, what do I do with all of this? Like, Which rituals am I supposed to do today, and how am I supposed to use this? And it's about finding, for me, again, those bridges, those connections between the different things, and learning how to use, okay, today I'm going to use colors, and everything I'm feeling is colors, or I'm walking down the street and I'm seeing colors, which talk to me from a Kabbalistic perspective in this way, and then shapes that talk to me this way, and then I'm smelling these types of flowers, which talk to me this way, and putting it all together, because I've already started to internalize connections.
Mm-hmm. And then you say that, I like when you say that you will have the connectors, you know, that will give you the ability to receive messages directly from God. So you're working with them in opening them up to being able to directly connect with their spirit.
In essence, yes, absolutely. It's about learning how, it's about finding, making kind of internal definitions for yourself so that as you're feeling things, you're automatically connecting to the spirit of those, of these things or of these feelings, and your higher self is always in constant contact, or in a sense, my higher self and I are always talking. So if I can't figure something out, I'll just talk to my higher self and be like, hey, can you talk to such and such, so and so's higher self and help me out here, or where should I go from here? And it's about, again, feeling always connected.
Oh, I love that. That's something that I also do all the time. And it's such a great feeling of really being connected and knowing that you've got some help.
Yeah, absolutely. Never feeling alone.
Never do it alone. I know. I love that. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about astral travel? I've heard about it for years, and in certain meditations, you know, I've heard we are kind of like in a place of not in your body. You're on top of your body. Is that what astral travel is?
The way that there's several different techniques for astral traveling. The technique that I teach, and I usually try, and I'm going to kind of sort of pre-qualify things in general. The way I speak and the way I teach is really, again, since I'm trying to tell people how to find their own path, I talk about things in reference to what works for me and how I've been taught or what I've learned. Again, if you're practicing your own experience, that you find what works best for you. In the case of astral travel, there are some people who describe it as sort of coming outside of yourself. And although you are feeling that, really nothing comes outside of you. You're expanding your consciousness to a certain extent. I sometimes say it's like you're tapping into the universal consciousness. That astral plane is that cosmic consciousness plane that exists outside of all of us. And although I'm not going anywhere, my consciousness is expanding at a level and to a point where I am tapping into that energy, and therefore I am bigger than myself, and I am outside of myself without ever having to go there. The technique that I teach uses the sacred geometries to create a vehicle for that travel and for you to travel actually out of your crown chakra. So a lot of the other techniques come out of either the Hara or sometimes solar plexus, basically feeling like you're coming out of your gut. Although it is a viable technique, I found that that's more traumatic and much more difficult to obtain, as opposed to by using the sacred geometries to kind of create this vehicle to then propel you out through your crown chakra, you're using your already connection to spirit, because our divine connection comes through our crown chakra all the way through, you know, that middle pillar that comes right through us, that central axis that comes through us. And so the astral plane is right there for us to reach. We come out, that consciousness expands beyond our crown, and then there you have the power to harness everything that's in the seven spiritual dimensions, as well as the overall consciousness of, you know, the entire world. It's an amazing experience to teach this class, because it's much shorter than a lot of other classes on astral travel. And yet I would say that within the class itself, the success rate, the people who actually travel within the class, it's like 90%. You know, sometimes I have one person who, out of fear mainly, or every once in a while, the person that has no experience with meditation or really concentrating that has some problems. But in general, the only limitation you have to astral travel is your own fear. And when you astral travel, you're able to get out into a few different experiences. One is to travel to, like I said, the spiritual dimensions, so that you can meet other beings and create actual relationships, learning partnerships with these beings, which I have done several times, and have, you know, inspirations from Bina came from a relationship on the astral plane. And then you can also come up to the Akashic Zone and actually read your Akashic records, which is your records of everything you've ever done and everything you've ever been. And actually, without having to go and ask somebody else to read them, you can go into them and sit there and read the Akashic records of your life, or kind of see them because they're more like a movie.
Wow, that is very interesting. Well, I know that you're going to be coming in soon for your classes, and I don't know if you're totally booked already, but I know I'm going to send out a lot of information out to a lot of people that I know that might still be interested in getting into the classes. Also, you do something with, like, communing with your spiritual masters and being able to receive intimate, you know, to receive messages.
Right. That's the Gifts of the Spirit class. And the Gifts of the Spirit class is one of my absolute favorites because it's the one where we will go through a series of journeys over 2 days to actually contact your higher self. So you actually will have one technique that works to create a sanctuary, a meditation sanctuary within you, so that this is like a safe place that you can always go to in order to start your meditation process. And then from this sanctuary, you can let in your higher self, and you can start to meet different levels of yourself. So you'll meet your higher self, your monad, which is your higher self's higher self. You'll meet the divas of the elementals, and so you get to meet your archangelic self, find out if you have any contracts. You'll meet the ascended masters. Basically, this is a way for you to, within the safe environment of a class, because one of the things that I've noticed with people and in working with them is that for a lot of people, you don't know what's out there, and therefore it's a little bit, it's scary and somewhat potentially dangerous to go off and exploring all the time. So here I teach rituals on how to set a sacred space, so how to actually create your environment from a physical perspective, which is the same thing that I do in the astral travel class. And then from there, teaching you through meditation how to go to each one of these different levels. And then in each level, you get to meet the being, work with whatever being it is, so an ascended master, a spiritual teacher, your higher self, and then come back and we work through it. We talk about it. It's a safe environment where you not only get to explore this on your own, but you get to bring it back. And if you want to share and maybe get a collective experience or really get a deeper understanding, you can share with a group of people in a safe environment. And the safety is so important because I think a lot of us, I know that when I first started, if I wouldn't have had these rituals, I would have gotten out there without knowing, do I talk to you? Is this a mm-hmm. being that I feel comfortable having a conversation with? And so being able to really sit there and say, this is what I do when I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I say these rituals and I work through this process. And at the end, if the being is still there, then it's a good being that I should be talking to. And if the being is gone, well, then I just got rid of some negative energy. Mm-hmm. And really just working through those types of things. And so Gifts of the Spirit gives you 2 full days to explore each one of these different physical dimensions and learn from each one of these beings, bring back keys, but most importantly than any of it, learn how to get back so that when you on your own are home and feel important to go back and do these connections and talk to these beings again, you can do it. You don't need to just do it in a class. You can do it in the safety of your own home because now you've learned how to create a sacred space, how to set the energy, and how to get there through the use of your own sanctuary.
Mm, love that. So I have 2 questions I wanted to ask you. One is if a person cannot do 2 days, can they just do 1 day?
For Gifts of the Spirit, you can do the first day in Gifts of the Spirit. It's so if they can only make Saturday for Gifts of the Spirit, then that's fine. You can't just do the second day, though, because you wouldn't have learned how to get into the sanctuary and how to move forward. Okay. The other classes I'm teaching are all single-day classes. So the previous weekend, the Gifts of the Spirit is August 15th and 16th, and it's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. On August 8th, which is the Saturday before that, I'm doing Sacred Geometry and Astral Travel, and that's the class just for people to know that the most full right now and probably only have a few open spots before I have to close it. because it's not a it's a better environment when I have a smaller set number of people than when it's too big, because then people can't really share and, you know, have enough time for journeying in that aspect. On the 9th, I'm teaching Practical Magic, which is a brand new class that I just finished writing, all about how to use your words and rituals to achieve different things. How do you use it in your daily life? How do I use it to work through clearing any negative energy of me not feeling worthy to do things? How do I really work on my personal abundance? How do I work through my protection and my clearing and purifications and things of that nature? And then during the week, I'm doing a small workshop, which is really kind of fun. It's called Manifesting Abundance with Kabbalah. And as a Kabbalist, I absolutely adore introducing people to the Kabbalah and how the Kabbalah works. And this is just a simple two-hour kind of workshop to talk about specifically how to use the four worlds of Kabbalah to create all that you want. How do you use archangels and angels and God names and mundane chakras like the zodiac to actually tap into that manifestation energy in the different levels of creation? So sometimes when I need an idea and sometimes when I need to make a plan, which energy do I use and how do I tap into it? So all those other classes are also available in addition to Gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patty and I are definitely going to be doing that one. I'm going to try to get them your schedules for some of the other days that I'm available, like on a Sunday. But what is the, you know, so you talk about, you know, in making your dreams reality through Kabbalah?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, the Manifesting Abundance with Kabbalah workshop really talks, it's a very small, because Kabbalah is a somewhat vast subject. It's actually not complicated. I think it looks complicated because the words are difficult for some people to say and there's so many different associations. But in general, it's actually relatively simple. You just have to kind of do it layer by layer rather than trying to do it all at once. So this workshop really focuses on the energy of manifestation in through the four worlds. And the four worlds is really about talking about saying, going from the spark of creation, that beginning of an idea that comes to you. You know how sometimes we say we have divine inspiration. I have no idea where, but somehow this amazing idea came to me. And going from that point, or in some ways invoking that point, all the way through the thought process of really thinking through what your idea is, how do I actually do this? Through the planning process and then the acting it, like actually putting your thoughts into action. And the interesting part about this workshop is that it teaches you specifically how to call on archangels, angels, you know, mundane chakras like the zodiac and the elements, as well as the God names, to kind of help you along in your process. Because sometimes we don't know how to actually create an effective plan or how to actually, maybe sometimes how to get an idea. I'm looking for a job and I need to actually think outside the box because I'm not able to find something the way that I've always done it. So this will help you go into a state or create a ritual or a mandala or a mantra or an affirmation to help you get into the energy of creating a new idea. Something out of nothing to a certain extent. And then the steps that you need in order to manifest it all the way back into true reality and to create that final object or to manifest that final goal of getting a new job.
Well, that's great. And you've given us a lot of great things.
That is a lot of information. I know our listeners are looking for what you offer. Could you tell our listeners about Inspirations from Bina?
From Bina. Yes. Inspirations from Bina was it was kind of interesting. I was living in Portugal at the time, at the beginning of this year, and I was in the middle of translating all of my websites and preparing things because I teach in both Spanish and in English. Living now in Spain and actually being from Miami to a certain extent, it's kind of a necessity to be able to do it in both. So I was in the middle of doing that, and I was having some interesting conversations with a friend of mine, and we were talking about how I was helping her through some of her problems. And I say problems, but that's actually not the right word. I was just helping her through things that she was working on in life. She was trying to manifest a new home. She was trying to do some changes at work. And we were working through it through talking. And she was saying to me, it was one of those things. She's like, you know, it's really, you know, you somehow have a way to take all of this information that I was giving you and actually create some kind of cohesion to it. And I sat there and I thought about that and I was like, yeah, if only I could figure out a way to actually manifest a new project that actually took this strange ability that I have to just listen to people talk and kind of figure out what they need. Not to sort of toot my own horn, but it's just this weird thing that I can do in conversation. And I started to do some astral travels, and I had just begun a relationship with a Pegasus on the astral plane. And the second visit to the Pegasus, I went up and I was sitting there talking to this Pegasus, and I was saying, you know, I'd really love a new project that I feel like I can take, you know, that I could help people on a grander scale, because I can't just sit here and talk to people one-on-one. And I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something else, and I don't know. And the Pegasus just turned to me and said, you should write a spiritual advice column. And I have to say, I was completely floored. The thought of it had never come to me at all. I had never thought about writing at that level. I had kind of been toying with the idea of a book, but every time I sat down to write it, it came out weird and didn't really flow. And I took it back and I said, okay. And over the next, you know, month or so, because the big thing that the Pegasus kept reminding me of was, don't go too fast. Use your own lessons on manifesting abundance with Kabbalah. Take it through the four worlds and really put some energy into creating something with a strong foundation, because you're going to be working with a lot of people. And so it's better for you to think this through now than to start fast and let it flop. And that was really where Inspirations from Bina came from. The name comes from the Kabbalah. Bina is the third sephira on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and she means understanding. That is her definition. And she's a very powerful sephira, because I have found that true acceptance, true understanding is really the key to life. Like, I know that we talk about love, and love is wonderful and it is beautiful. But for me, it's when you can understand and accept somebody, regardless of whether or not you like it, regardless of whether or not you're going to follow it, regardless of whether or not this is the path for you. It's about understanding others when you find true happiness. Because if I can accept and understand those around me, I can choose whether or not I want to hang out with them or be a part of their lives. But I don't have judgment. I don't have hatred. I don't have fear. I just get where they're coming from. And so Inspirations from Bina is just that. It's a place for people who, specifically with a spiritual focus, can ask questions about anything. And because spirituality is a part of all of our lives, I get questions. They're incredible. I get questions about people from a very spiritual nature, like, I have these healing gifts, but I don't know how to work with them. Can you help me figure this out? To, I just met somebody and I'm getting these feelings from it. Should I pursue it? To sometimes I'm trying to manifest a new career decision. How do I get to that point? And all of these questions really still take on, to a certain extent, a spiritual aspect of being able to teach people through my answers. How do you tap into your inner, like, intuition, your higher self? How do you look at things differently than you've looked at them before? How do you accept the messages that the universe is putting in front of you? Somebody just recently asked me that I think she broke her wrist, if I remember the question correctly. And she broke her wrist and felt like it was a sign for her to slow down. But she also felt like there was more to it than that. And she wanted some help trying to decipher the messages. And it was a fascinating question, because it took me to a place of really saying, okay, she knows enough to know she has to slow down, but is she really reading what is this reoccurring message that has not been listened to the point where she had to break a wrist in order to get there?
Mm-hmm. And, right.
So Inspirations from Vena really is just that. It provides that space for people who are on their exploration and on their path.
And how do they, should they write to you online, or is this on the phone, or how do you do that?
It's all online. I have several, Inspirations from Vena has its own website, inspirationsfrombina.com, and that's the main kind of site. I've also created several groups on social networking sites, including Facebook, Tribe, and Gaia, as well as it's now publicated in two different online publications. One is from the London College of Spirituality, and it's called Voyager Growth. It comes out every month, and it's a fascinating newsletter specifically to the novice seeker, the person who's just starting off on their path, who really is looking for help, trying to understand terminology, trying to understand which way to look. There's articles in there about sacred geometry and articles about numerology, and really just kind of at a very stepping into it, kind of like putting your toe in the water. And then it's also a part of the Violet Ray, which is another online, it's an online partnership of an actual physical newsletter or physical magazine, excuse me, that comes out, and it's from Canada. And so that's a recent syndication that just started. So people can go to any one of these places, whether it's the main website or one of the social networking groups or the actual online versions of these publications, and not only read commentaries from and questions that have been asked and answered, but they can also submit their own questions there. So I get submissions from all over the world. I've had submissions from people when I do know where they're from, because a lot of people don't say where they're from. But, you know, I get from Europe and South America, as well as Australia and Africa. I mean, I've had questions that have now come from just about every continent. I'm not sure about Antarctica, but...
Well, I really enjoyed that website and reading the questions people posted and reading what you had to say, because it was very informative. And I also like the fact that you can ask a question, you can submit it. So I think that's a great vehicle for you to reach the masses, more people.
Thank you.
Yeah, very great. So we have a few minutes left. Why don't... you give our listeners your contact information or website information that you'd like for them to have, and also let them know where they can go to get a schedule of your workshops.
Absolutely. So my the easiest way to reach me is via my website, and my website is eternallightenergy.com. And it's kind of funny because we only kind of broached the subject, but Eternal Light Energy is a complete complement to Infinite Connections, which is my music and side of the business, my music and performance, because I really do feel like they're connected. So eternallightenergy.com is my main website. From there, there actually are links to my classes and workshops that are happening in Miami, as well as some upcoming classes in Barcelona and London. So the Miami classes are happening in August, so it's coming up soon, just about a week and a half away, August 8th through the 16th. And you can just click there to the classes and workshop schedule, and you'll find it. Inspirations from Vena is at inspirationsfrombina.com as well, and you can find me via Facebook using my own name, Yvette Soler, so Facebook, Tribe, and Gaia. I really believe a lot in the social networking. I've actually used to teach a class about viral networking using the social networks, because I feel like it's given a lot of people a voice. It's given them a way for them to ask stuff in a, I want to say, somewhat safe environment, because it's somewhat anonymous. If somebody gives you bad advice, you just sort of ignore it. And it's giving a lot of people an opportunity and access to information that they don't normally receive. And so I feel like, especially those three, Gaia, which has a more spiritual focus to begin with, Facebook, which is very generic and open to the public, and Tribe, which is much more alternative, are three of, to me, some of the top networking sites for actually getting information to people. So those are the best ways to reach me, my website and those social networks. And my email address, which is just Yvette, which is with a Y, Y-V-E-T-T-E, at eternallightenergy.com.
great.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Yvette. And I'm so looking forward to meeting you when you come into Miami.
Definitely.
And
before we sign off, is there one more thing that you'd like to tell our listeners?
If I was to say anything to listeners, I would actually say just keep searching and find your own path. Learn as much about what you want to learn, but make it your own. Like I think it's wonderful that there are so many people out there that are willing to both learn as well as teach. And I think that each one of us has the ability to then take that information and make it our own and to use it in your everyday life and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. None of us really knows all that much more than everybody else. We might know a little bit more on one subject, but we're here to exchange energy and to actually manifest in this world. We each have a purpose. We each have a reason that we're here. And although it's beautiful and wonderful to want to reach up for divinity and reach up into spirit, it's really important to take everything that we learn up there and bring it down to this physical planet. Because we live here. God, source, light, whatever words you use to describe it, whatever religion, whatever creed, whatever you follow as your spiritual mission, the end result is that we're meant to manifest here on Earth. We're here to do something. And so don't be afraid to just do. Don't be afraid to just ask. Ask for help. Ask for information. There's lots of us here that want to help and that want to work with you. And that's
it. Thank you. That's great, Yvette. Thank you so much. And, you know, you have a great day, and we'll definitely get in touch, and we'll see you when you come back to Miami.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your listeners for all that they do and all that they manifest in this world.
Okay. You have a great day now.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.